All right. Well, thank you everybody for being here. Good afternoon. Again, my name is Rosalie, and today I'll be presenting on how we can work towards health equity by creating safe places for activity in Latino communities. So today's presentation, I'll start off by telling you a little bit about Salud America and the work that we're doing to really promote this concept in Latino communities. I'll share with you kind of our first 7 years and the work we did then. Then I'll go into a little bit, I'm going to highlight what we found in one of our research briefs that we did on active spaces and Latino kids. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of points that we found there. And then from there, I'll transition into telling you a little bit more about our newest thing, the Growing Healthy Change platform. And so let's get started. I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd like to make a couple of acknowledgments. Our leadership, our director is Dr. Amelie Ramirez at the Institute for Health Promotion Research, based at the UT Health Science Center, and our funder is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we have a great team at Salud America. We also have our deputy director, Kip Gallion. We have our project coordinator, Rebecca Digby. And we have just this wonderful team, Cliff Dupre, our communications coordinator. We have three curators, including myself, Shannon Baldwin, Chelsea Cox. We have our multimedia producer and director, Rick Carrillo. And we just have this great team working, and I'll show you some of our work in just a bit. You'll get a better idea of what we do. So who is Salud America? Well, Salud America is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's research network to prevent Latino childhood obesity. So initially, we created the first ever Latino childhood obesity research priority agenda. And at this point, we've developed a network of over 10,000 members. We've also developed an award-winning online video and social media communications network. So as you see here, we've hosted scientific summits. We've developed really neat multimedia products to really raise awareness of this need for active spaces in Latino communities. And so why do we focus on Latino children? Well, as many of you might already know, there are great disparities between the Latino community and the white population. So Latino children are at a higher risk for being overweight and obese, as many of us know. 39% of Latino children are overweight and obese, compared to only 32% of their white counterparts. And this is a problem because the Latino youth are one of the fastest growing demographic groups. And so any negative health effects that this group experiences will be likely to carry over into the nation as a whole. So problems like greater health care expenditures and higher disability rates, lost work productivity, even stunted economic growth, these are all consequences we can expect to see if we don't start working to reverse this trend. So that's why we're so concerned about this. So why do we focus on Latino children? Again, we've found in our research that Latino children are less likely to get 60 minutes of physical activity for 5 days or more per week. As you see in the bold orange color, there's less activity, lower activity levels, and higher levels of sedentary behaviors like watching 3 hours or more of television per day or playing computer games and video games. And this is from the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance data, and this is among teens. So, there's definitely a need to do some work there. So with that said, what Salud America did is we decided to get a better understanding of how environmental factors contribute to high obesity rates in Latino communities. And so we conducted 6 comprehensive research reviews, including one on Latino kids and the built environment. So that's the one I'll be highlighting today. We decided that our objectives for this would be to consolidate the field of evidence on places for activity, and then also to create policy recommendations for bringing more active spaces to Latino kids. And then finally, to give policymakers, local groups, and advocates like parents, students, and teachers this much needed resource so that they can reach out to their leaders and be empowered to make changes within their own community. So in this research review, we focus specifically on shared use agreements and street scale improvements as initiatives for the Latino community to see if this is working. And what we found, first of all, in our research review, here's just a brief recap. is that in a lot of Latino neighborhoods, the built environment characteristics and fear of crime might impact the levels of Latino kids' activity. So things, as we all know, like sidewalks, a lack of bike lanes, and overall aesthetics of a neighborhood might be impacting the level of activity that kids are getting. And one of the statistics showed that Latino kids were only 70% of them versus 82.5% were likely to feel safe within their neighborhood. So there's a big difference there, and this is likely to affect how frequently children and families are going outside to walk and bike to sites where they might be able to participate in recreational activities and get their needed physical activity. So we also found evidence of a lack of parks and green space and recreation centers in many of these Latino neighborhoods, and this is especially true for neighborhoods in high poverty and within the inner city. So. Also, I'm sure many of you might be familiar with the concept of shared use agreements, but for those who aren't, these are formal agreements entered by two parties or more that generally allow the public to use a facility, either outdoor and indoors. And so where there is no space for parks, through a shared use agreement, a school playground or a schoolyard can become a community playground. And this can be open during after-school hours or before school hours, and this can be a really valuable asset to Latino communities. So although shared use agreements can help bring that access to public space, we found that nationwide there was a decline in shared use agreements from 35% to 29% between the year 2000 and 2006. So why this decline? Well, overall, the literature pointed at perhaps a lack of, increased concerns about liability and also a lack of funding. So these are some things we need to work at changing. And also, you know, we're really missing out on that opportunity by not collaborating with community partners to try to establish these shared use agreements. We're not allowing green space to be opened up at places like schools and churches, and then really there's so many other places, even private facilities, that might be willing to keep their lots open or keep their green space open to the community. It's just sometimes a matter of going to ask for these spaces and seeing what can be done. So overall, some best practices for active spaces are, of course, playgrounds and parks. And these can be obtained, as I've already mentioned, through shared use agreements, or sometimes even MOUs. Maybe you're familiar with that, but these are memorandums of understanding. So by entering into these formal agreements, there'd be more likely guaranteed access to community playgrounds. Then another policy we've highlighted in our research review is street level improvements. So things like complete streets policies, a lot of cities are finding success with implementing these type of policies throughout the city to ensure that the road is safe for all road users and not just motorists, but also pedestrians and cyclists. And this is especially needed for vulnerable populations like children and the elderly. And so definitely seen an increase in complete streets policies nationwide. And finally, of course, trails are another way that we can help build these active spaces for Latino communities. So in getting trails, what we've found the literature recommends is that new trails try to connect to existing trails or to bike lanes and to other places of recreation like parks. So these are just a few examples of good practices, but what we're finding is that within the community, there's also several great success stories, and sometimes, you know, those are new ways that we haven't thought of can be used to bring more active space to Latino communities. So I'm going to transition just a bit into telling you a little bit about how we've worked to establish this new online platform called the Growing Healthy Change Platform. So this here, as you can see, is just kind of on the left side a picture of what our main homepage looks like. And on this site, what you will find is you'll find daily updates of the latest news and policies that we, as curators, I mentioned I was a curator, so I'm constantly searching for new changes happening across the nation and in Latino communities. And daily we update this, and we geolocate each policy. So every new entry goes onto this map of change, and so people are able to see what's going on throughout the nation. and also be able to read about how those changes are happening. And so in addition to our daily policy updates, we also have our Salute Heroes. So for our Salute Heroes stories, what we do is we go a little bit more in depth. We interview all the key players that helped bring about a policy change, and we find out how they got it done. And we write up the story, and they get filmed. We film the story. In addition to our Salute Heroes, well, down there you see one example of a Salute Hero. And the point of all this is really to have people feel empowered by seeing members of the Latino community similar to them making changes and seeing that if they can do it, you know, it's something that I can also be successful at bringing this type of change into my community. And so we have various resources, as I mentioned earlier. We have some great infographics, bilingual. We have some great animated videos that are also bilingual. And these are great conversation starters for community meetings or even for within nonprofit organizations. We've had people sharing these videos and really helping to raise awareness of the need for some of these active spaces. This is our policy contribution spectrum. This is just kind of to give you an idea of how we frame all of our policies and all of our Salute Heroes stories and even our videos. They're all framed using this pre-policy, policy development, policy enactment, and post-policy stages. So, you know, the first stage pre-policy is where you just learn about the issue, you do the research, you learn how to frame the issue well. And then policy development is really about going out to the public, speaking to your leaders, mobilizing the community, and debating the best way to go about implementing a policy. And then, of course, policy enactment, you frame the policy and ultimately see the change occur. And then finally, you implement it and you ensure that it's an equitable policy and that there's sustainability through that policy. And, of course, you know, you can always go back a step and just, you know, it's basically used to systematically identify the critical steps needed to pass a policy. So now I'm just going to go into a quick example. I'd like to show you the video of one of our Salute Heroes. This is Rails to Trails in Brownsville. There you see a little example of the written story, and within the written story you'll see an awareness. Every story is divided into those four stages. So I'll get started with this.
Shade and places to sit. mucho el jugar, el interactuar con muchas personas más.
Las cosas que me gustan más es jugar con mis amigos. Porque podemos jugar todas las cosas que podemos.
All kids should ride bikes because they can stay healthy and not be inside bored all day.
It is an urban trail in a densely populated, low-income area of the city, and it's being used to its fullest. It's hardly possible to walk on it without bumping into someone and seeing people walk their dogs or take a run or ride a bike or just a stroll in the morning, and that's been the most heartwarming.
So that's just one example. As you can see, there's that peer modeling, role modeling component that is just really important for reaching the Latino community. So here's just a quick screenshot of our maps of change. At the top right-hand corner, you can see there's a little box where you can just enter your location. So you can search for your city, and you can also select various options, such as the policy topic that you're interested in. So if you're interested in active play or active spaces, you would check those boxes off. And then you can choose also whether you want to look at the city level, county, state, national level, school district level even. So right now this map that you see is just kind of showing a zoomed out, but if you were to zoom in closer, you'd see some red areas where that would represent city changes. And then once you click on a particular city, like down here, you would see the different policy topics that have been entered into the platform, and then you'd click on these and you'd get to read a whole little blog posting of each policy change occurring, and then you'd see what level, what stage of change it's in. So all this said, you know, we have these great videos, we have this great online website, and so what are we doing to get the word out there? How are we engaging our network? So really quick, I'm just going to touch on how we're doing that. So one thing that we've recently started doing are these weekly tweet chats. And so far we've seen a really positive response. We've really been able to share a lot of our materials this way. As you can see here, there's a quick example of one of our Active Spaces video, actually our animated video. And what we do is we just hashtag it with Growing Healthy Change, the platform, of course. And people can easily share this. And our weekly tweet chats have just been great. We partner up with other national organizations doing similar work. And we just ask about 8 questions during each tweet chat. And we get, you know, our co-hosts provide answers, but also anybody who enters the tweet chat is able to provide comments or ask questions. And it's a great way to interact online via social media. We also send out daily tweets with links to the latest news that we post, and we're also we also tweet out whenever we post up a new Salute Heroes story and video. And we also reach our network through our e-alerts and quarterly e-newsletters. So in closing, I'd just like to say that I think as researchers, it's very important that we continue to get the word out there, that we find new and novel ways to just reach the community. A lot of times the work we're doing doesn't always get recognized, or people don't quite understand what we're trying to do or why it's so important. So I just want to emphasize the need to communicate the work we're doing. And what I'd like to ask of you is that you get involved in our network, that you register for the Growing Healthy Change platform, and that you share your stories with us. We want to hear it, and we want to help facilitate it, that and make it easy for you to share your stories. So really, if you contact us, then we'll just interview you, we'll write up your story, and we'll place it on our platform. So, and if you'd also, if you're on social media, please do follow us. We have our blog, Salute Today, Facebook, and we're on YouTube and Twitter. So, thank you very much. I'm not quite sure I'm sure that there may be some existing literature out there. Sure. Yeah, the data I spoke on is stuff from our research review. We have a comprehensive research review, and then we have a shorter issue brief that kind of covers and hits those main points. And so I'm not quite sure that we have that data in our research review, but we can certainly look into that. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.